What is your reaction to the election results? That's today's big question. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 7th. So, President Obama wins re-election in Wisconsin and nationwide. Tammy Baldwin, Democratic Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin, defeats former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson for Wisconsin's open U.S. Senate seat. And Republicans regain control of the Wisconsin State Senate and have full control of Wisconsin state government now. So what do we make of all of this? What are your hopes or your fears? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are happy to have with us two guests from different perspectives to talk about all of the election results and what they mean. Daryl Mayfield joins us. He's an instructor of business ethics, diverse cultures, and other courses at Upper Iowa University in Wausau. He owns the Bradley Mesh Consulting Group. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Glad to be with you this morning.
Thanks for joining us again. And Chris Lotto is with us, former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a GOP campaign consultant. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Joy.
All right. Well, let's start with the race for president. Why do you say Daryl Mayfield, President Obama, won in Wisconsin and the nation for that matter?
Well, I think it's because the party platform was one that was inclusive. I think it spoke to, obviously, a number of voters. And looking at some of the statistics, I guess, that have been thrown out, significant numbers of women, young voters, and significant numbers of Americans whose primary language is Spanish were voters who voted for the president, along with the majority of Americans of African descent. So I think when you've got a message that resonates with the numbers of those individuals that the president's message resonated with, then they will vote for him. They did vote for him, and he won.
Chris Lotto, why did Governor Romney lose?
Well, I mean, first of all, I wish I could say I was surprised by the outcome. I frankly didn't hold out a whole lot of hope for a Romney victory. I don't think it was a particularly well-run and dynamic campaign. And really, the Obama team just outflanked Romney and the GOP on the ground game, and that's really where it matters. It certainly mattered in this race. Obama's popular vote margin was a lot smaller than it was 4 years ago. He still did obviously very well in Wisconsin and did well enough nationally. So this is hardly a mandate, and I think it would be a mistake for the president to claim a mandate. I think you saw from Barack Obama a campaign that really traded kind of on cynicism. Hope and change was long gone in 2012, and his campaign was all about just going negative and kind of grinding it out to get to a victory. It was a campaign of dividing, not uniting, which I guess makes sense because we are a particularly divided nation right now. So he is stepping into an atmosphere that is going to be particularly rancorous if you didn't think it was already. The battle lines have clearly been drawn, and this campaign is probably going to leave a bad taste in a lot of mouths.
Well, what about what Daryl was saying and a lot of other observers are saying, that the Obama campaign did reach out to Latinos and women and other minorities, and that made the difference, that Republicans are alienating those groups?
Yeah, well, he's right. The GOP, I think, particularly failed in reaching out to the Hispanic vote, the Latino vote. I think the Obama campaign was successful in using the old bugaboo about, Republicans hate women. You saw a lot of that rhetoric in the final closing few weeks of the campaign. The Republican Party is going to be tasked with, obviously there's going to be a lot of licking of wounds, trying to figure out what exactly went wrong. There are a lot of places to point fingers of blame, frankly, but part of it is recognizing that the face of America, at least for now, is changing. And the party itself, the Republican Party, has to take another look at where it's going, where its principles are, and finding candidates that reflect the changes that we're seeing in America. Not necessarily changing policy, but changing how we connect with those voting blocks that are going to continue to grow. It's not going to get any easier with the way this campaign was run to be successful on a national level for Republicans.
Darrell, what about what Chris had to say about President Obama should not view this as a mandate? Do you think that the president's... I don't know why we're getting a lot of feedback there, but can you hear me still, Darrell?
You're fine.
Okay. We're getting a little bit of feedback, but I was wondering if you had comments on whether President Obama won because he had a better ground game or whether this in any way means voters agree with his policies on economic issues and other issues.
Well, I would agree with the fact that if the Dems had a better ground game. In terms of whether or not this is a mandate or not, I don't think it's called that. I think it's called a win. And the old terminology that if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If it's a win, then it's a win, then it's a win. Whether or not it's a mandate, the American people, it seems to me, vote in their own self-best interest and then in the best interest of what they believe to be best for their neighbors. They've done that. Now, what we're, I think, all asking not only the president, but the House, the Senate to do is to begin to do the work that we sent them there to do. President Obama had 4 years. He got another four, but I don't think people are going to wait another 4 years for the leadership of the United States to do what it has to do. And I think that one thing I would disagree with Chris about is that it's not that the face of America is changing. The face of America has changed, and that's one of the issues that I think the Republican Party is going to have to come to grips with. The other issue that I would disagree with, Chris, with is that about policy. We do need a change of policy in a lot of different areas. And one of those areas, hopefully there will be a lot of discussion, which there wasn't during the election, will be about foreign policy and where the United States actually fits into the world now that its face has changed.
Yeah, let's get a comment from Chris on what you expect in terms of policy, at least in the near term.
Well, we're a nation that is heading toward a fiscal cliff here. We have, under President Obama's in his first term, have dug a major fiscal hole to the tune of $16 trillion. Projections indicate that if President Obama were to have his way, that hole is only going to get deeper. So in the short term, we need to deal with where we're going to head as a nation to stave off economic collapse. I think Obamacare is, by and large, and this is in the very early going, but I think it's largely protected. I think if one thing came out of yesterday's election, it's that Obamacare, unless it gets challenged around the margins, is largely going to survive. But I think that the key now is to refocus, laser-like focus on economic issues and bringing jobs back. There were some signs of recovery. The recovery in this nation has been slow and sluggish, and it's time to redouble our efforts in that regard. I think that's priority number one.
Chris Lotto is our guest. He is a GOP campaign consultant, and also with us is Darrell Mayfield, who's an instructor at Upper Iowa University in Wausau. We are breaking down yesterday's election results and talking about why we voted the way we voted and what this all means, and we're welcoming your reactions, too, during this post-election big question segment. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Areas of fog and some patchy drizzle this morning. Otherwise, a cloudy cool day today with highs in the upper 30s in the north to the mid-40s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 7th. We'll continue getting reaction from a wide variety of guests coming up in our next hour after 8 o'clock. We are expecting to talk with Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Democratic Mayor of Milwaukee Tom Barrett, Delegate to the Democratic National Convention and Wausau attorney Christine Bremer-Moogley, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and National Review columnist Christian Schneider, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist Eugene Kane, the former Republican Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Margaret Farrow, and you too. So getting lots of reaction to the election results and talking about what they all mean. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Right now we have a couple of guests who often join us for our Week in Review program, Chris Lotto and Daryl Mayfield, as we're reviewing yesterday's election results. Lots of callers, but I wanted to ask before we go to the phones, Chris Lotto first. We just heard Republican Reid Ribble, who was reelected in Wisconsin's 8th congressional district, in our state newscast. All of the incumbents were reelected. We have one new congressman in Mark Pocan in Madison. He is replacing Tammy Baldwin in the 2nd congressional district. But Congressman Ribble said he has to sort of digest what message the American public, American voters, are sending. I think he said, you know, they're sending back a redder House of Representatives and a bluer Senate. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you know, and so much of this depends on politics and the dynamics of politics at a district level when you're talking about Congress, and sometimes even at a county level. You know, it gets really granular. So it's kind of challenging to sort of parse out what the messages are. I mean, you think about what happened in Wisconsin. You know, we reelected Barack Obama, had a hand in that. We elected a very liberal U.S. senator in Tammy Baldwin, and yet we made sure that the state legislature is now red again. I mean, we gave the Republicans back the state Senate and made sure that we have a sizable majority in the legislature, and we have, you know, this year, you know, elected Scott Walker after a recall. So, you know, it's a weird sort of schizophrenic thing that we're in the middle of with this election. And I think that goes back to one of the earlier points that I was making, that, you know, we're a very divided nation. The president was not given a mandate in yesterday's election. And I think maybe Reid Ribble is hinting at this notion that, you know, these guys are going to have to figure out how to work together, that the problems that were being dealt with or perhaps put off in President Obama's first term now need to be taken on head on.
Yeah, what's the message to you, Daryl?
Well, I'd like to address one other thing that Chris mentioned, the fiscal cliff, the $16 trillion dollars in debt and Obamacare. He mentioned earlier on that the Dems ran basically on negativity as well as on some bugaboos. Well, these are the Republicans' bugaboos. The $16 trillion hole that we're in, they seem to forget, was begun with 10 years of war basically paced on a credit card by a Republican administration. The fiscal cliff, exactly what is that? I don't think anybody actually knows what the fiscal cliff is. In terms of Obamacare, how can businesses compete when every year they're seeing double-digit increases in insurance, yet they're competing with nations that have national health care? Eight out of the nine industrialized nations went to national health care in 1945, or just after the Second World War. If you take into account that the United States, with its economic might, built most of Europe after destroying most of it, and they went to a national health care, then who do people think paid for that? And yet we remain the only ones to say, well, no, health care is a commodity. In terms of Reid Ribble's comment, what's the message here? The message is, as it's always been, there have been fairly few instances when, I'm sure in the state of Wisconsin, as well as in the Senate and Congress, I should say in the Senate and House of the United States, when it was occupied by all Democrats. Part of our two-party system, or part of our party system, is the fact that we expect there to be compromise. We expect there to be any number of ideas about how the country should resolve its problems or move forward. And what we expect leaders to do is to basically sit down and hammer out what is best for the country. And what that comes out in is policy. We call that the action of politicking or politics. That's how we basically get to it. No particular party has any corner on all of the ideas. No particular party, if they were to win, all of their ideas would be good ones. Things just don't work that way. There are a lot of other problems or issues or causes for some of the things that we face. And so there's no one party that's the panacea for all of that and for moving the country forward.
Let me take a call from Roberto in Milwaukee. Good morning.
Muy buenos dias, Joe Cardin. So I was talking to our partner before. First thing I did this morning was checking the newspapers in Spain, in the internet, and it surprises me that all the politicians, regardless they are liberal or conservative, said that Obama was the best option for Europe.
And these are the politicians of Spain, you're saying?
Oh, what do you mean?
You're saying that the Spain political leaders, whether they were conservative or liberal, are happy that President Obama was reelected?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. And it surprises me when Obama was saying that the cutting in the health care in the education in Spain was good and was necessary for Spain. But then here he has another speech, and I don't know. I don't really understand that. I don't know if Obama has defined politically already, or I don't know. And just another short thing.
Are you Roberto happy with the election results or not? Are you concerned? Are you optimistic?
I'm optimistic. I think it's a good thing that Romney didn't win. I'm very happy, but. I was one of those dreamers with Obama's campaign in 2008, but I don't know, he disappointed me in a few ways. I just see here that no one cares about the poor people, and poor people in the States are increasing, and all they talk is about the middle class and that dream middle class, but then no one cares about the poor people.
Thank you very much, Roberto. Let's get a quick react from our guests as we're coming up on our news break. I think Roberto wanted to talk about primarily the reaction in Spain, and so maybe that gives us a little bit of an opportunity to talk about international reaction to President Obama's reelection. Any comment on that, Daryl Mayfield?
I think that in terms of Obama's reelection and the way the countries outside the United States is that Mr. Romney did nothing to designate that he was different from George Bush. In terms of his foreign policy, in one of the debates, I think it was in the second one, he pretty much agreed to that he would do just as the president would have done. Even though he said that, he had been pushed far to the right by those in the Republican Party and perhaps those outside the United States, basically saw that move to the right and thought that they would possibly be dealing with another George W. Bush.
Yeah. What about your reaction to that, Chris Lotto?
Well, it is what it is. I mean, the American people have spoken. They've decided to give Barack Obama another 4 years to do. To do what he said he's going to do. So we'll see. I mean, I know Daryl keeps hearkening back to the days of George W. Bush as a way to sort of cover the mistakes of Barack Obama. This is officially Barack Obama's going to be his second term in office, and I think it, the time to be blaming George W. Bush for the problems that the country faces is now over, and it's time for Barack Obama to take these problems on head on.
Let's take one more call from Jerry in Appleton. Very quickly, Jerry, we'll get your point on the air, and then we'll get reaction after the news.
Okay, thank you, Joy. First time, long time, by the way. I think Romney lost for two fundamental reasons, which have been touched on. One is that on social issues such as women's rights and gay rights, the core of the Republican Party is just too conservative compared to where the country is at. A perfect example of that is Wisconsin returned Scott Walker, yet we elected the first openly gay senator. So the other issue, I think, is that Romney was just simply a flawed candidate. He didn't run on his record as governor of Massachusetts, and he basically ran away from his business record as well. And that's related to the first point, because he obviously had to move to the right in order to secure the nomination.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Only because we have news coming up, we will check news and then we'll get our guest to react to your point. We appreciate the call. Talking with Chris Lotto and Daryl Mayfield during this election wrap-up big question, looking for your questions and your reactions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with guests from different perspectives about yesterday's election results. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And today's post-election big question is, what's your reaction to the election results? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Of course, you probably know that President Obama has been reelected President of the United States, winning a hard-fought victory against Governor Mitt Romney. He also, President Obama, took the state of Wisconsin. Democrats retain control of the U.S. Senate, and Wisconsin made history, electing the first openly gay woman to serve in the U.S. Senate, Tammy Baldwin. Baldwin defeating former Governor Tommy Thompson. And we are discussing the election results in Wisconsin and throughout the nation with our two guests, Chris Lotto, former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and GOP campaign consultant, and Daryl Mayfield, who is an instructor of business ethics, diverse cultures, and other courses at Upper Iowa University in Wausau. He owns the Bradley Mesh Consulting Group. Just before we checked news, we heard from a caller who said, and I'll have Chris Lotto respond first, that he thought that Republicans lost, or that the GOP is too conservative, that it's too socially conservative, and pointed to some Tea Party losses in yesterday's election, and thought that Mitt Romney was flawed in part because he was forced to the far right and was running away from his more moderate record when he was governor of Massachusetts. Chris Lotto, is there any truth to this?
Well, speaking specifically about Mitt Romney as a candidate, I think a lot of the more conservative types in the Republican Party were never really fully trusting of Mitt Romney. And I think that is at least partially explains why you saw what you saw throughout the primary, where it seems like every other week, certainly the media and Republicans were kind of kicking the tires on a whole bunch of different candidates before they finally settled on Mitt Romney being the most electable. There were questions, and they were legitimate, about, you know, Mitt Romney's conservative bona fides and whether he had to become something he wasn't to run for president. You know, a good example, of course, is the Romney passing Obamacare in Massachusetts before Obamacare was cool, and then, you know, sort of having to do a two-step around that. You know, it's the same thing that Tommy Thompson faced in Wisconsin. A lot of observers pointing out that Tommy, who is in many ways, and I don't mean this as a criticism, is a centrist. A lot of independents and Democrats respect Tommy Thompson a great deal, felt that he had to move to the right and be something he was not, particularly in the primary. And I think Romney did the same thing. Again, going back to my comments at the start of the program, it was always, I think, an uphill climb for Mitt Romney. But, you know, there are some who are going to, as they do the Monday morning quarterbacking like we're doing today, are going to analyze this and say that Romney, you could never really pin down what he was, and that he gave up a lot of himself to run for president, well, and what he truly stood for.
But briefly, Chris, is the Tea Party over or just getting started?
I would say that reports of the Tea Party's death are greatly exaggerated. I don't think that one election puts a stake in the Tea Party's heart. I think that the ideas and the principles that the Tea Party are built upon are just as alive as they were yesterday or 2 days ago or 2 years ago, for that matter. And I think that now that you have Barack Obama with a second term in office, that in some ways I think that the Tea Party beliefs are going to only intensify.
Mm-hmm. Daryl Mayfield, the Tea Party over?
Oh, definitely not. I think that the election of the president pretty much, at least for the next election cycle, certainly puts the Tea Party in play within the Republican Party. But I think that's something that particular party is going to have to deal with, and that is the ideology that a centrist, a moderate candidate, a moderate or centrist Republican cannot win perhaps a national election for the presidency. You know, to look at the country already being changed, and then to stand on a platform, which Mr. Romney did, obviously was not something that people accepted. You know, when we look around the political landscape, Tammy Baldwin basically said last night that she is the first person from the LGBT community that citizens in Wisconsin have voted for and sent to the Senate. But she is not the first LGBT person to hold office in the country. I mean, Houston, for example, has had an LGBT mayor for now for at least 2 to 3 years. She was a council person before that. So it's changed. If you look at that, you think, well, wait a minute, Texas is probably one of the reddest of red states. And yet in the city of Houston, they have elected and did have a council person and now a mayor who is from the LGBT community. I think the American people are looking at exactly what America is supposed to be. We are looking for the best people with the best ideas, the best party that can put forth a platform and a candidate that speaks to the needs of all.
I'm sorry, you wanted to say, Daryl?
And I think when parties begin to learn that lesson, then we'll move forward and they'll have candidates who can actually challenge.
Robert in Maguanago is with us next. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. My faith in humans has been restored. Bush had 8 years to tank this economy. I think it's only fair that President Obama should have 8 years to try and correct it. The bold-faced lies, the huge infusion of money, the attempts to reduce women's rights, the slave-like rule, the attempts to quell the vote, all failed. If Americans weren't sure of what the Republican Party stood for, they ought to know now. Finally, a shout-out to the female voters. We need more women in Congress to tamp down this testosterone sandbox-based mentality. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Chris, I'll let you react to that.
Well, I appreciate the recitation of the Democrats' post-win talking points. It's good to know that everybody's staying graceful in victory.
Daryl, do you have a comment on this? Robert, though, was saying that he thought that money didn't, money did not buy this election. What about that as a issue to talk about, Daryl?
Well, I don't think that, even if Mr. Romney had won, we would be sitting here. I hope we wouldn't be sitting here saying money bought the election. Now, what the Supreme Court has done and the way the game has shifted, it's basically grown another industry that really gets people to give money for campaigns 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and it goes on and goes on and goes on. So that's that part, and maybe that's the ingenuity of the American enterprise and the American mind. I think that money in our political system certainly is an issue, and it's something that that we need to be thinking about and how to best correct it. The other things that we need to be thinking about is, along with that, have come examples of businesses now telling employees how to vote, or sending out information where employees feel that perhaps they're being intimidated. Minority Corporation has class that their employees are suggested that they attend, which is, from what I read and understand, is taught by Herman Cain. I don't know that Mr. Cain has any particular degrees in economics that he would be able to lead students through that type of study. We're looking at letters coming from co-owner of Home Depot saying to individuals basically how they should vote, and if they don't vote this particular way, these are going to be the things that could happen to the business. So
yeah.
That has happened because of Citizens United and the way that was handled at the Supreme Court.
Good. Let's let Chris react to that before we get another caller.
Yeah, I think as we continue to analyze the results of the race, a lot of ink will be spilled over how out of control the costs of running for office have become, and 2012 I think in part will be seen as, you know, perhaps not the breaking point. I mean, perhaps it has to get worse before it gets better. But the just obscene amounts of money that have been spent, not only by the candidates but obviously all those quote unquote independent groups out there that you know eclipse by multiples what the candidates themselves are spending. I mean, this is one of the outcomes of campaign finance, quote unquote, reform. But my sense is that this would not be, the final chapter that spurs any sort of reform efforts, that it may have to get worse before it gets better.
Let's go to Zach and Marshall next. Hello, Zach.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I would kind of want to change directions and maybe ask, where do we go from here as far as, like, the fiscal cliff? I have a couple questions. Is it real? And can you maybe give us a better understanding of what it is?
Yeah, thank you very much for that question, Zach. I know Daryl Mayfield asked that same question earlier, Chris Lotto. Is the fiscal cliff real, and what's going to happen regarding it?
Well, the fiscal cliff is real, and we as a nation are going to find out just how real that is in the coming years.
And what is it exactly?
Well, we have a debt that is at the $16 trillion mark, which is obviously a high water mark or a low water mark for the United States, so depending on how you want to look at it. It is one where we are seeing spending in government that is absolutely out of control under Barack Obama, and that all signs point to that continuing with a second term in office. It weakens America's economy. It weakens investments. It weakens our dollar. It weakens us in the eyes of the world when we're digging a debt hole that continues to get bigger. It is absolutely a serious issue that needs to be addressed. To dismiss it as a Republican bugaboo, as Daryl did earlier, I think is a mistake. It is a serious and legitimate issue. And to say that to continue to run up a debt that grows increasingly larger and will likely grow larger still under President Obama, to just dismiss that, I think, is absolutely wrong. The idea that we could see a double dip in the recession and things go back to not recovering is a very real possibility. Economically speaking, it impacts jobs. We're not out of the woods yet. So I think it's a mistake to just dismiss that as, oh, it's not anything we have to worry about. It's the thing Republicans hold up to get people worried. So I disagree with that vehemently.
Daryl.
I would agree with Chris that it is serious. I disagree in that the Republicans have used it as a bugaboo because they really haven't explained exactly what debt is. You want your government to go in debt, depending upon what's happening in your economy. To look at a war or wars that went on, two wars that went on for 10 years, how else do you pay for war other than borrowing money? Bullets, men, equipment have to be replaced, and so that's what you do. However, perhaps you don't do it as well as give those within the country who have the lowest taxed amount that they've ever paid. Even during the days of President Eisenhower, there was a 90% tax on what we would call, I guess, the wealthy, depending upon the income. That doesn't mean that they paid 90%. Just as it's so that those who are saying now they need to have a lower tax rate, they don't even pay the marginal tax rate because of loopholes provided by whom? Provided by both Democrats and Republicans in the Congress. And that's a serious issue. Earlier you mentioned something about policy, and one of the policies that the Obama administration needs to get a handle on is tax policy. And I think the other most important policy is foreign policy. And they really need to explain to people where the United States is in terms of the way the world is, the way certainly we would like the world to be, but Obama is a pragmatist, so hopefully we deal with the way the world is. The other thing is actually looking at tax rates. Who pays the tax? What are all of the loopholes that we have? The Republican challenger said that he wanted to close loopholes, yet he could not name a loophole that he would close. I mean, if you're going to say to people, one of the loopholes I'm going to close is going to be the fact that you are not going to get interest taken off on your house note.
Let me jump in, Daryl Mayfield. I apologize, but we're past our break time and need to move on to some other callers and other races as well, as we are trying to wrap up all of our election results from yesterday with two guests during this hour. We'll hear from many more in our next hour as well. If you would like to react or have a question for Daryl Mayfield or Chris Lotto, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. It's going to be foggy with some patchy drizzle this morning. Otherwise, a cloudy, cool day today. Highs upper 30s to mid 40s. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned for more post-election wrap-up coming up in our next hour. Right now we are in our big question segment, and our question for you is, how do you feel about the elections? Are you celebrating? Are you fearful? Are you just glad it's over? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We also have an online poll, as always, on a Wednesday. You can go to wpr.org/joy or find it on the Facebook page. Let's talk a little bit about some of the state results as well. We haven't really talked much about the Wisconsin state legislature. The Republicans regained control of the state Senate. And we have Buzz on Facebook who says, I think the results in Wisconsin at least show that politics are local. Keep our state on a good track and vote their heart on the national level. Chris Lotto, is that what happened, do you think?
I think he is right to a certain extent. I mean, if you look at it as, you know, just sort of take a step back and look at all the results, you go, wow, Wisconsin remains as schizophrenic a state as ever because, as I pointed out earlier, we did support Barack Obama for a second term. We elected someone who's going to be probably among the most liberal U.S. senators in Tammy Baldwin. And yet, at the same time, we made sure that at the state level, earlier this year, we made sure Scott Walker stays governor. We have a sizable Republican majority in the Assembly, and we also, after just a few months' time, gave the state Senate back to the Republicans as well. So you have an all-red state house in Madison. So I do think that it points up the fact that it really is a lot of local races and a lot of local issues, and that a lot of times it really does boil down to a ward-by-ward, district-by-district, county-by-county battle, and that certainly holds true for Wisconsin.
Yeah. So, Daryl, your thoughts?
I would agree with Chris on that. I also would agree that it depends on the personality. I think that the Duffy campaign here in my area ran a very good, a very smooth, a very efficient campaign. I think Kreitlow was rather slow in recognizing some things. However, when I look at both of the candidates and what they did on their television advertising, neither spoke to real issues. And I think the incumbent perhaps should get another term to see if he can do what he says he went there to do in the first place.
Yeah,
so I would agree with Chris.
Yeah, it's not exactly in your backyard, but the one open seat in the state Senate that was once held by Democrat Jim Holprin did go to Republican Tom Tiffany, giving Republicans the control back. And it looks like, and Chris, is this definite now? The Jessica King seat has been lost by the Democrats?
That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. I had seen some results that indicated that there might be the possibility of a recount. But at this point, I think everybody who's observing this is saying that we're going to end up with an 18-15 majority in the Senate in the Republicans' favor, and that would include that victory.
Yeah, and that means what, Chris Lotto? Does that mean that Governor Walker can do whatever he wants?
Well, it certainly means that Republicans have a nice little cushion, particularly in the Senate, where you have, you know, your independent types in the Republican Party. You know, I think that house is always, you know, it's like wrangling cats. It's a hard thing to do because you do have some independent minds in that house. Obviously, you have Dale Schultz is one that sticks out. Talking about the agenda and where we go, obviously, the mining legislation is expected to come back, and Dale Schultz was the one who kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, stood in the way of that. Now that you have an 18-15 majority, it seems to grease the skids a little bit more to see legislation like that happen. But certainly, you know, Republicans now firmly control both houses of the legislature and the governor's office. So it's going to be an interesting 2 years, and I think that, you know, Governor Walker's agenda is free to move forward, I think. It's going to be a lot easier to get things done for the governor.
Mm-hmm. Daryl?
I think when you look at the history of Wisconsin, Wisconsin has a long history of being a progressive state. And whenever I've heard that, I've never seen it hyphenated by a Democrat or hyphenated by a Republican, just that Wisconsin has been a progressive state. And so I think that The mining legislation may come back around. There may be other legislation that comes around, but the question essentially will be whether or not Wisconsin wants to be the state that created a DNR that began to clean up and make the quality of life better in this state, or whether it simply wants to go back to anything, basically anything goes. And I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening either from either a Democratic side or a Republican side. I see these folks essentially hopefully working together. I think that there are going to certainly be things that the governor is going to propose that will go through on a 18-15 vote. I think there are going to be other things that that are going to be stopped by individuals either crossing the aisle or staying on their side and someone else coming over or whatever. But that's the way I see it in Wisconsin.
Well, here's one last comment from Mark in De Pere, who emails. I think we all agree on this. Finally, it's over. We get a break from political commercials and polling telephone calls. Any disagreement, Daryl or Chris, on that?
No disagreement here.
Are you kidding me? The race for 2016 starts today.
We'll have you back to talk about that. Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Daryl Mayfield is an instructor of business ethics, diverse cultures, and other courses at Upper Iowa University in Wausau. He owns the Bradley Mesh Consulting Group. And Chris Lotto is a former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a GOP campaign consultant. We thank them both for their thoughts on the election results and where we go from here. We'll continue to get a reaction from a wide variety of guests coming up in our next hour. I know that Kathleen Dunn and Talk of the Nation and At Issue with Ben Marins will also have post-election wrap-up shows. So this is the place to be to talk about what it all means. Thanks very much to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for on-air direction. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There is much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.